Lecture 4, Hattusas and Imperial Hittite Culture.
This is the fourth lecture in the series of civilizations of ancient Asia Minor. And what I wish to do in this lecture is to cover the achievements of Hittite civilization. In the last lecture, the great Hittite emperors, particularly the emperors of the 14th and 13th century BC, forged an impressive state, an empire that was able to unite the peninsula of Asia Minor through a network of highways, military alliances, the development of a professional army, and challenge the pharaohs of Egypt, fight them to a standstill, and actually achieve equal status with the great pharaoh at Memphis and Thebes. In this lecture, I want to cover some of the cultural achievements, and there's good reason for this, because we have not only numerous written documents, we also have a considerable amount of arts and the foundations of architecture. No structure of the Hittite Empire really survives. We have walls, we have foundations of temples, so a good deal of what we know about Hittite architecture is reconstruction. Nonetheless, all of this physical evidence allows us to make some judgment on the cultural achievements under the Hittite emperors. Furthermore, it's a little deceptive sometimes to speak of Hittite civilization. Perhaps a better title would be the civilization of the Hittite Empire, because there are a number of provincial variations. There's different peoples who were incorporated. And above all, the Hittite emperors presided over a coalition of kingdoms and were more than willing to accept artists, craftsmen, thinkers from the older civilizations of the Near East and adapt the achievements of the Near East for their own purposes. So that what we're looking at is an imperial civilization. And yet at the same time, a civilization that reveals that the Anatolians, the people of Anatolia or Asia Minor, from the very start had a great creativity in adapting technology, arts, and institutions to their own needs. Now, the Hittites could draw upon an ancient Anatolian heritage, and this is seen in a number of ways. One of them is in the literary texts that have come down to us, written in cuneiform tablets and preserved in the great documentary rooms at Hattusas, the Hittite capital, which was burned and destroyed somewhere around 1190 BC. In fact, the burning of capitals in the ancient Near East is one of the best way to ensure records. Very often, records were sun-baked. They may not have been fired in a kiln. Therefore, they're very fragile. So when your capital city is torched, it's very helpful for later archaeologists to recover these documents, clearly the result of misfortune for the residents of Hattusas, but nonetheless that ensured that the tablets didn't disintegrate. So a number of tablets were discovered on the citadel, and others were discovered in the storerooms of the great Temple A, which is now identified as the Temple of the Weather God and the Sun Goddess. And these records give us some indication of Hittite achievements. For one, we find that the great emperors of the Hittite later period, the 13th century, particularly Hattusilus III, the man who signed the treaty with Ramesses II, pharaoh of Egypt, he sponsored important religious and legal reforms. Hittite customary law is assimilated, organized, codified with the use of the legal texts that were well known in Mesopotamia. The most famous is the Code of Hammurabi. Hammurabi reigned in the 18th century BC, so you're dealing with an interpretation of his code that's about 500 years later. And what you can see is efforts by the Hittite kings to rationalize customary law and at the same time to exalt the position of the king. The king is the fountain in justice, as the final say over customary law, and then gets a hold over the society and particularly the elites of society who have to defer to the king and his judges. Another important achievement in the literary record are the treaties that we encounter. The treaties have long preambles. There's religious justifications imposed in them. They show a close link between religious and legal language, which makes sense because the Hittites have a very quid pro quo relationship with their gods. I do this in return to for this favor. I offer sacrifices. The god gives me a victory, whatever. And we have a considerable amount of information coming out of the preambles. And the Hittites are absolutely compulsive. In this way, they share a characteristic with the Romans. They're very much into counting, as the Romans are. They want to know how many soldiers How many gods? How many cities? And so these treaties often include a wealth of information about the geography and the populations who are concluding the alliances.